You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we check in on the state of immigration policy in the U.S. amid announcements by the president involving mass deportations.
First, pet stores in Wisconsin could face fines for selling dogs and cats. That's if a new bill became law. The goal would be to shut off a sales outlet for inhumane puppy mills.
Representative Lakeisha Myers from Wisconsin's 12th Assembly District is the author of the bill. Representative Myers, thank you for joining us on Central Time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Can you please describe for us how this legislation you've proposed would go into effect? How would it work on a practical level?
I think it works well on a practical level. We want to, you know, protect the animals that we have. You know, we don't want to see puppy mills, you know, occurring and also having animals sold. We want to use shelter animals as much as possible. So I think this is kind of like the final step. I know there was legislation that passed many years ago that kind of banned puppy mills, but we saw that people were using utilizing pet stores as a pass-through, if you will, to kind of get around that that aspect. I thought that this legislation would be something that would kind of end that practice, hopefully. So that's why we're looking at the collaborative aspect of ensuring that pet stores work with the humane societies, and certified, you know, shelters that know that they're not selling the animals but doing adoptions in their stores. So it's not taking away business from them, because you still have, you know, pet supplies and things like that that will be sold by the store. They just will not be able to sell the actual physical animals anymore.
And Representative Myers, several other states have either enacted or are considering similar legislation. Have you talked with lawmakers in those other states? What have you learned from them?
I have spoken with lawmakers in other states, the state of California. We've also looked at legislation that was looked at in New York, the state of Maryland also. So it has been working in other states. There were some issues, I think, in California with, again, looking at it as a loophole. People were still being able to, utilize dogs from puppy mills, and, you know, they had to go back and kind of look at some of the language that they had in their statute in California, and we did not want to make that same mistake here in Wisconsin. So we have been in contact with all of the major groups that deal with this, such as the Humane Society of the United States, Wisconsin's own Humane Society, and as well as the ASPCA. So we wanted to make sure that this was, you know, something that would be amicable to all groups, to make sure that this is not something that we're just doing on our own. We actually got consensus and input from a lot of different entities before we entered into this, because I know how important that, you know, the care for animals is, and especially, you know, with folks who are pet owners, you know, they're part of your family. So you want to make sure that you're looking out for their best interest.
Certainly, I don't think anybody would defend puppy mills and bad breeding and raising conditions for animals. Is there any concern that there may be ethical breeders who are going to be kind of locked out of having a direct way to sell their animals to the public?
I don't think so. I don't think it would diminish that aspect at all. You know, this was really geared toward the stores and, you know, how much is the doggy in the window type situation. So I think, you know, with ethical breeders who are breeding for, you know, a specific purpose, like we often talk about show dogs, if you will, for, you know, who are on television or things like that. I think, you know, that's not the market that we're looking for. We're looking for everyday, you know, family pets, domesticated animals that will be, you know, in your home or mine.
We're talking with Representative Lakeisha Myers. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin's 12th Assembly District, which includes Milwaukee. She is the author of a bill that would prevent the sale of dogs and cats in pet stores. And Representative Myers, if the legislation passes, what would success look like to you?
Success would look like to me that, you know, we have more adoptions going on in collaboration with our shelters and pet stores that are in our state. We don't have very many independent pet stores across our state anymore. A lot of them have given way to your major companies like Petco and PetSmart. So I think the collaborative effort is something that is good. It would drive people into the pet stores more. So I think it would also help, the pet store industry would help them as well. So I think it's a win-win for both entities.
And how would this law be enforced? Who would be responsible for making sure that pets are not being sold?
Absolutely. Well, we already have provisions in place where, we have folks that go around and do inspections to make sure that this takes place. So Define is something that I thought put teeth into our bill. So with looking at that, it would be a higher fine for breaking this law once it becomes law, hopefully. So I think that is looking at like $25,000 if you break, or repeatedly break, the law to do this. So I think it will have pet store owners thinking twice about trying to disobey what would become law.
And where does the bill stand right now? What kind of support are you seeing for it?
I'm seeing a lot of support from both sides of the aisle. We are consistently talking about the bill. A lot of different advocacy groups have, reached out to my office as well as other offices saying that they support the legislation and that they are hoping to get a committee hearing soon.
And briefly, before we let you go, if the legislation does become law or maybe if it doesn't, are you considering any other policymaking when it comes to regulating the pet industry and improving pet breeding standards?
I have not gone that far. I'm really focused on this one right now. But I think, that may be something we look at in the future. But we're looking at going one step at a time.
Well, Representative Myers, thank you so much for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Representative Lakeisha Myers of Wisconsin's 12th District talking about the bill that she's authored that would ban the sale of dogs and cats in pet stores. For more on the topic, we're going to bring in Mike Bober now. He's president and CEO of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Judith. I appreciate you having me.
Well, tell us a little bit first, what does the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council do?
Sure. We represent all aspects of the responsible pet care community, breeders and distributors of animals, retailers, food and product manufacturers, and service providers as well. Basically, anybody who helps you bring an animal into your home and then care for that animal once it's part of your family.
And you heard Representative Myers talk about her bill for here in Wisconsin. What's your initial response to that proposed legislation?
Well, I want to start by commending Representative Myers for wanting to address the issue of responsible breeding. It's an important issue. It's something that all of us should care about. Unfortunately, the approach that she's chosen with a pet sale ban really just isn't the appropriate way to go, and it's going to have some unintended consequences that are going to be borne primarily by small Wisconsin businesses.
Tell us more about that. What are those consequences?
Well, in California, which Representative Myers mentioned, we've already seen half a dozen stores that did sell puppies go out of business just since the new law went into effect in January. And the reason being that if a pet store is set up on a business model that relies on the sale of animals, you simply can't flip a switch and get them to the point where they can be profitable under a new model. The animals that are coming in represent not only the point of entry for customers, but also the beginning of a lifelong care relationship. And that's what our folks want to be. They want to be partners in pet care. But when you take that away, or when you force someone to change to a new model, what we've seen is that actually ends up becoming a drain on resources. There are examples on the East Coast of stores in New Jersey and Pennsylvania that have voluntarily switched to this model, and even so have still found it that they were unable to make a profit to remain viable as a for-profit entity by offering animals for adoption. They were either forced to transition to a nonprofit status like a shelter or a rescue or simply go out of business.
And the puppy mill issue is talked about a fair amount, but do we have a sense of what kind of scope of a problem this is? How many and where are these puppy mills doing their business?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because I think that's really one of the biggest misconceptions that drive ban efforts. When people talk about wanting to prevent the sale of dogs from puppy mills, they rely on you kind of closing your eyes and coming up with a mental image of just a horrible, horrible situation. Dogs in stacked cages with matted fur, covered in ticks, things that you and I know to be just absolutely deplorable. But the reality is those breeders are already operating illegally. And in fact, the kind of breeders that you picture when someone says puppy mill are not legally permitted to sell to pet stores in the first place. The only breeders that can sell to pet stores are USDA licensed or USDA exempt breeders who are subject to oversight and inspection.
So where are those puppies, and I assume probably kittens and other animals as well, that are being bred in these mills? Where are they being sold then?
Well, what we find is that there's actually a thriving black market for animals that are offered to the public through roadside sales, through Craigslist ads, and other online sources that don't have transparency or traceability. This tends to be where a lot of people end up going, and in fact, where they're driven even more frequently when a ban goes into effect. Across the country, only about 4% of all dogs that end up in someone's home each year are acquired in a pet store. And in a state like Wisconsin, I believe that number is even smaller because, as Representative Myers said, you have so few independent businesses in Wisconsin that are still offering dogs for sale in their retail stores.
Mike Bober is with us from the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. We're talking about legislation that would penalize pet stores in Wisconsin for selling dogs and cats.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this legislation? Do you have an experience where you bought a dog or cat from a pet store or from another source? Did you track down, I guess, the provenance of that animal? Were you concerned that it may have come from a mill operating illegally, illicitly? Call in at 800-642-1234. If you work in the pet business yourself, at a store, as a breeder, as a trainer, definitely love to hear your experience as well. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about proposed legislation that would penalize Wisconsin pet stores for selling cats and dogs. Mike Bober from the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council is with us.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this legislation, good idea or not? Do you work at an animal rescue or shelter and have thoughts about this legislation? Where do you go when you're looking to buy a dog or cat? Where have you gone in the past? What concerns do you have about how they're bred and raised? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And let's go to the phones right now. And Cindy in Appleton is up. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. Well, I think this is a good idea because those cats and dogs that are in those pens at the pet shops are those kennels are so small and they get no interaction and they're stressed out the way it is because they're not in an environment with, you know, conducive to them. Plus they've got people coming and going all day poking at them and looking at them, and then you've got all the store noise. It's, to me, it's so stressful for those animals, and I wish they would take this farther and really ban anything that is fur or feathers from a pet store.
Thanks for that call, Cindy. And Mike, what's your response to that comment? I think it's probably pretty common.
Well, I certainly appreciate the thoughts and the feeling that go behind a position like that. But what we find is that, honestly, animals that are in pet stores actually do have a very high level of social interaction with people because of the traffic coming into the store. So they tend to be very well socialized. The nice thing about what you've got going currently in Wisconsin is that for the past 10 years, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has overseen all dog sellers, shelters, rescues, and pet stores alike, conducting unannounced inspections, making sure that any complaints are followed up on. You've actually got one of the most comprehensive sets of regulations in the country currently, and Wisconsin's to be applauded for that. The one thing that Wisconsin doesn't have currently in place, and this is something that we've actually attempted to bring to the sponsors' attention, is we'd love to see Wisconsin implement a statewide warranty, something that would allow for reimbursement veterinary bills in situations where animals have either a congenital or an illness that they've picked up from being in contact with other animals.
Thanks for that call. Let's go back to the phones, and Adam and Racina's up. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
So I actually am the owner of the Petland in Racine. So this issue touches us significantly. Because as Mike was saying, our whole business is about matching the right pet with the right family. So if suddenly the law is passed and we're unable to do that, our entire display space, our fixturing, all the stuff that is built around safely and comfortably housing these pets, there's no point of it. There's no use for it. The current Act 90, 2009's Act 90, that is the dog seller law that's in effect in Wisconsin, specifies the housing for adult dogs is different from nursery housing for puppies. So I have a brand new kennel. We just expanded our store in 2016, but those cages, that kind of housing, even though it's very nice and new and spacious for puppies, it wouldn't even be legal for adult dogs. Hmm.
Thanks so much for that call, Adam. And Adam, would you be able to continue in business if this goes into place on January 1st, as it would be if the bill is passed?
We would absolutely have to close.
All right. Thanks for that call. Let's go back to the phones, and Chris in Kenosha County is up. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just briefly, I just want to say, as someone who, I'm not a breeder, but I have bred one litter, a German Shepherd litter. I did the right things, health checks. I x-rayed my female, good hips. The male was x-rayed. I can, and knowing people in the business that are like reputable breeders, I can almost tell you without a doubt that a reputable breeder, someone that's health checking their litter, would almost never sell their litter through a pet store. That's just a point I just want to make. So I don't think that puppies that are sold through pet stores, commercial stores, they're not vetting people. The health checks, the clearances, they're not there. I can take the comment off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for that, Chris. And actually, let's go immediately to Tara in Milwaukee for her perspective. Hi, Tara.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I agree with what Chris just said in regards of some of the differences between hobbyist breeders who participate in purpose-bred dog sports and pet stores. A pet store still has to vet check their puppies, but they may not be doing the same intensive screening with the adults that a hobbyist breeder might. We don't support purchasing puppies and dogs from pet stores. However, it's a slippery slope. If we say no pet stores because that's bad, then when do we start distinguishing the finer lines between bad and good, appropriate and inappropriate breeding practices? I think it's more important to work on educating the consumers on where to get a dog and what they should ask for and look for. And it's also important to make sure that the dogs that are produced, regardless of where they are sold, are properly screened for health clearances, same with the parents, getting the appropriate care and being placed appropriately in families where the correct breed with the correct family situation is going to be made.
Thanks for that call, Tara. And Mike, lots of perspectives there, pretty emotional reactions to this. And let's zero in on Adam and being a pet store owner. What would you say to
Sure.
someone who's probably going to lose his livelihood as a result?
Well, unfortunately, that's the reality of this, is that this is going to fall disproportionately on the pet store owners in Wisconsin whose businesses rely on those relationships in order to stay active. And that's going to cost jobs, and it's going to impact people in Wisconsin. It's not going to do anything to put, you know, the big bad breeders outside the state out of business the way the advocates might suggest, because unfortunately, you know, that's simply not the way the interaction works. That does not get passed back to the breeders because so few dogs are coming from breeders through pet stores.
So, Mike, you talk with legislators and other policymakers in a variety of states who have very good intentions in wanting to protect these animals. What advice do you give them on the best way to do that?
Well, we strongly advocate for legislation that prioritizes transparency, oversight, and education. And in Wisconsin right now, you all are doing a great job with transparency and oversight through the Department of Agriculture and through the efforts of everyone who's involved in vetting puppy sellers and dog sellers to make sure that they are being held to those high standards. I don't think a lot of people understand that those standards are already in place and being enforced, and I'd love to see more being done to improve education about that. And again, I think our thought is that because there are these regulations already on the books, rather than simply carving out one class of dog seller and saying, you know, you can no longer do this, you can no longer sell while everybody else can, I think it would be a much more responsible approach to sit down and say, what can we do with the laws that we've already got in place and with the interest in enforcement to make sure that everyone is matched with their ideal companion animal and that they've got the opportunity to be educated on the front end so that they make those lifelong connections and we don't have to worry about animals ending up in shelters in the first place.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time.
That was Mike Bober, President and CEO of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. We talked with him about how states are taking action against puppy mills by limiting pet sales in pet stores. Earlier, we spoke with Representative Lakeisha Myers. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin's 12th District and is the author of a bill in the Wisconsin legislature that would penalize pet stores for selling dogs and cats.
Still time for you to weigh in on this issue over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Do you support that kind of a legislation? Do you have concerns about it? What do you think would be the best way to guarantee the well-being of cats and dogs, however they're bred and sold in Wisconsin? Let us know what you think and maybe your firsthand experience over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.